Reliability. Some people take it for granted. Verizon doesn't. That's why it's the network more people rely on. And there's a place you can rely on for everything Verizon. Cell Only, your local Verizon authorized retailer, located right here in Rock Springs and in Green River. They've got a wide selection of the latest devices and offers to choose from, as well as smartwatches, tablets, and accessories. Whether you're looking for a phone for your business, your family, or just for you, their experienced reps can help you connect to what matters most on the network that more people rely on. Stop into Cell Only, your local Verizon store in Rock Springs across from Walmart, or in Green River next to the theater. Cell Only. Wireless made easy.
Joining the show today is Brittany Montgomery, who is a teacher over in Green River, and you've probably seen her in the headlines over the last month with her recent Wyoming Teacher of the Year Award. And, you know, we're welcoming her to the show today. I think you're going to enjoy our conversation. I know I'm going to enjoy our conversation. But Brittany, welcome. First podcast. And how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, this is exciting to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I thought who better to bring on the podcast than Brittany. And so here we are. I know we had some technical difficulties initially when we tried to do this, but I think we've got them fixed. So,
awesome.
Yeah, that's always good. But I did want to start off maybe just a little introduction of yourself. You know, I personally don't know. Are you from around the area?
I am not. So okay. I'm actually from Orange County, California.
Okay.
And when I was looking for a college, I wanted somewhere out of state. And originally I was going to go to the University of Nebraska, but on our way touring, my dad was like, I think Wyoming has a college. I was like, okay, we'll go check it out. And I fell in love immediately. I love the size. I love that everything is right there on campus. I knew wherever I was going to go, I wasn't going to know a person at all.
Okay.
So, again, it was just nice that everything was right there on campus, and I thought it was a beautiful campus, and they have a good education program. So that's how I ended up there.
Okay. Now, yeah. I'm assuming that you must have visited Laramie when it wasn't winter.
No, it was spring. But, okay. But, I mean, the day we showed up, it was, like, beautiful, and then it snowed within a few hours.
Oh,
but,
okay. So you got a taste of
everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the winter, though. I love snow. Cold is better. Cool. So, yeah. Cool. So it just fits better.
All right.
I can almost claim Wyoming more than California. I have 2 more years and I've lived here longer. So
okay,
we're getting there.
Well, I'm assuming you're going to meet that target goal.
Yes, I am. I am.
Awesome. Well, we're glad that you're here in Sweetwater County. That's for sure. And of course, your husband, Nick, did you meet him at
Laramie? When, not in Laramie, but when you're going in the education program, they have you do student teaching. And they kind of send you to a variety of places throughout Wyoming. And not being a Wyomingite, you don't really have preference. Uh-huh. They just kind of send you wherever. And so I found out I was coming to Sweetwater number 2. Had no idea where it was, no clue, anything about the town. And then so I was student teaching at Truman Elementary. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go back to Nebraska for some reason. I love Nebraska. But and so I had a teaching job and everything. And Sweetwater number 2 was like, oh, just interview for fun. And, you know, I was like, all right. So I did. And then I found out a few friends were going to teach here. And I was like, all right, I'll stay for a couple years. And, you know, money for teachers is really good in Wyoming. And then I was like, and then I'll go and venture off. And my first kindergarten class, my current niece, who wasn't my niece at the time, was in there. And so his mom and sister convinced him to come have lunch with his niece for her birthday. And that's how we met. So here I am.
Here you are.
13 years later. So I'm a lifer now.
Well, then what a love story.
Oh, it's yes. It's unique. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so, you know, I kind of let's back it up. Of course, you know, you went to Laramie and then ended up here in Sweetwater County District too. But before then, you know, how did you kind of get into teaching? What kind of, you know, inspired you to go down that route? Because as you mentioned, I mean, yes, Wyoming pays well, but right. at the same time, you know.
You don't go into it for the money.
Right,
that is,
exactly.
That is very true.
Yep.
You know, I was not planning on being a teacher. I never enjoyed school. It was really challenging for me growing up. My mom was a teacher. My grandma was a teacher. And, you know, even just witnessing what teachers' lives are like and how much work goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I want something where I can kind of turn off at the end of the day and not have to worry about things. And as I continued through education and just had more and more challenges, it made me realize that there's other kids like me. And I have ADHD and ADD and all the fun things. And so as I became a high schooler and got to work more with kids at youth programs and things like that, I was like, oh, I might be able to do this. And I can be there for the kids that were like me that need extra support but aren't necessarily getting it. When I was in school, it was like, they didn't diagnose girls very often with it. First of all, it was mostly boys that had ADHD. And so, yeah, I have this very specific memory of being in a class, and I had tape. The teacher had put tape around my desk and flipped me around from everyone, and I wasn't allowed to leave the tape, and I wasn't allowed to get out of my seat, and it just kind of put a bit of a damper on education, and I was like, I would never do that to a kid. Uh-huh. So it really inspired me to try and help other kids like me and find strategies and resources to make education better. So.
So I guess with that one follow-up question, you know, were you always kind of good with kids or kind of?
Yeah, I mean, I can connect really well. I always say, like, most of the time I'm at their maturity level. Like, I find their jokes hilarious. And, you know, I just think that I have that, I don't know what you call it, but it's just I can connect with them where, you know, I'm not necessarily an adult, but I am. And uh-huh. I find those ways to reach them and their interests and things like that. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So now let's see, you've been here for, you said 13 years, correct?
13 years. In Green River. Yeah.
Okay. In Green River.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that, you know, you've learned throughout, you know, your career teaching that will always kind of stick with you and maybe have even helped shape you into, you know, the teacher that you are today?
Well, I think, again, just my personal experiences with the challenges of trying to learn when you've got learning difficulties, I think that really helped shape me, but also just recognizing the potential that educators have. One of my big things is trying to leave impact and impacting as many people as I can. And I realized early on, if I'm working with these kids, you know, I get 19, 20, 22, however many every year, if I can work with them and really build up, you know, how they treat others, how they treat themselves, and I can have that impact on them, then they can take that the next year and teach other kids. And then it kind of has this spiraling effect. So that's one thing that's been really important to me and kind of shaped how I've mapped around my education, is making sure it's not all about academics, but mm-hmm. really making sure I'm teaching the whole child and how they can handle anything instead of just certain scenarios or situations. So
now that idea, that concept, has that come from, you know, mainly your experiences, or is there some sort of other inspiration that you've kind of taken from to
mostly
implement those?
Yeah, mostly just my experiences and realizing, well, and I think just watching the world around us too. I mean, it's a very challenging world and lots of darkness and I think there's a lot of selfishness right now. And so again, just trying to teach these kids like how to leave it a better place is important to me. So yeah, it's my experience, but it's also, I think what we're all seeing right now is it's not pretty out there.
Yeah. It's true. Sadly, but
yeah,
that's why we have bright spots like you, right?
Oh, well, thanks.
So I kind of wanted to also touch on, you know, obviously the Teacher of the Year Award.
Yeah.
Clearly, you probably didn't expect to come away with it.
No. And, no. I originally, I think there was six of us in the district that were finalists. And even that, I had no expectation of
sure.
even being the district teacher of the year. And then from there, when you become the district teacher of the year, you get to enter into the Wyoming teacher of the year. And it's a lengthy process. You have to write quite a few essays and then you do a resume and some other things like that. And then from there, they called and said, oh, you're a top three finalist. And I was like, oh, cool. And they said, so now you get to give a keynote and do an interview. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I've never done those things. So I did that like the day before school started. And again, like I had no expectations whatsoever. And we went to a summit in Cheyenne on September 22nd, and that's when they were kind of just acknowledging all district teachers of the year. And then that's when they told me, you're the Wyoming teacher of the year. And I'm just blown away still. Like, I don't know. It's very overwhelming and exciting and huge honor, huge honor.
I'm sure that's probably the top honor that you could probably get.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah. So now you go into the National Teacher of the Year.
Okay.
Process.
So more writing, more writing,
more interviews, some videos that you get to do. And yeah, so it's just an exciting, the whole thing is exciting. And the platform I think is what I'm really excited about is being able to talk about education and trying to be a voice for educators. Because a lot of times we have people making decisions for us that aren't in the classroom, and it's hard to get them to realize sometimes like what it's like every day for us. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Do you maybe want to touch on some of that? You know, what are some challenges that you think educators face?
I mean, honestly, it's not just educating anymore. Like we really are everything to the students that we have, especially nowadays, just with the pandemic and what it's done to kids and their social and emotional states, and anxiety is pretty high, especially in children. And, you know, so we're having to learn how to map that out for them and teach them how to deal with those things. We're meeting their needs, their basic needs, if they're not being fed or clothed or, you know, loved, we do all those things. So it's just, you know, everyone just thinks, oh, you just teach and then let them go. And it's not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, we worry about them like they're our own children. So it's just, it's a stressful thing. And then, I mean, yeah, we have to educate them for the next year. And you'd be surprised how much little kids have to learn every year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's challenging. I mean, this year's been, it's been stressful in its own way. We're not online teaching really anymore because that was a whole different, different ball game. But, you know, there's just differences with, you know, with quarantines and stuff. There's kids that go for long periods of time and how do we catch them up and keep them engaged and things like that. So, but also just I don't think we're trained in how to address their social and emotional needs. Like that's not really when I was in school, that wasn't part of the process. It was a lot of, well, how do you teach them and what are you teaching them? And so this has definitely added a whole new barrier. And so, you know, I think that's a challenge too.
What do you think's made the difference from, you know, when you were a kid in school to, you know, today with the students you're teaching?
Oh, goodness. You know, I think times have changed a lot.
Uh-huh.
I think the internet has changed a lot of things and exposure that kids have to a lot of stuff. But I also think that, you know, with the internet and with technology and things like that, kids want instant gratification, constant stimulation. And so, you know, we really have to keep them engaged, which is not easy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have to act and be like actresses and, you know, it's a challenge because they want to, it has to be interesting to them because they're used to like swiping if they're not interested. So that's, you know, it's hard and you have to make it hands-on and fun and yet still educate them. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I would be cut out for a teacher. So
it's a challenging job, but it's super rewarding. I mean, you know, they love you unconditionally and they always find bright sides in your day. And I mean, you can't be sad when you're working with kids. It just, that's not the case.
Definitely. I would assume that that's probably the reason why you've stuck with it.
Oh yeah. It's definitely all about the kids. And, you know, you find some that really, really need you. And at the end of the year, it's really hard to let them go on to the next grade, but you see their lives change so significantly. And, that's how you know, okay, I did my job.
Right.
I did the right thing. And again, it's very rarely is it about like their academic growth. It's it's definitely like I helped that kid realize their potential or that they matter. So that you stay for the kids for sure.
And, you know, I would say that those are probably lessons that are probably more important than the content that you're teaching them. So,
yeah, it's, you know, that's one thing that we've talked a lot about as teachers right now is, you know, we can't put anything in their brains if they're filled with all kinds of other stuff. So it's been really important that we try and get them to, you know, relax and be present and not anxious about all the things going on around them. And because, yeah, you can't fill up their brains with education if they're stressed and upset and things like that. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, you're also a mother, of course. And so I kind of want to get your perspective on this just based on some of the stuff that we've talked about.
Yeah.
Not to say that, you know, you should tell people how to parent, but
no.
Yeah. Maybe what are some of your tips for parents to help their children, you know, I guess be classroom ready is maybe the way to put it.
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is just trying to teach them how to advocate for themselves and, you know, teaching them like you have a voice and you matter and that, you know, if something isn't working for you or if something's bothering you, like you have to express that. That's one thing that I wished I had had when I was younger was that I could have advocated for myself. And so I try and teach my kids that. I try and teach my students that. What else for getting them school ready? I don't know. Just reminding, you know, kids that it's important to be respectful and listen and that, you know, everyone is there to do their job, which is to learn. And, you know, it's not easy because you got 20 some odd different personalities and you're going to find people you don't get along with, but you try and help them as much as you can. And if you can't, you just kind of have to find a way to, you know, keep going yourself. So, and, you know, just that school it's important and it matters and that, you know, you got to find things you love about it because it's going to get tough.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I also did want to touch on this cause you did mention a little bit about it, but, maybe just share your experience of teaching during COVID because I think that we've sometimes overlooked, you know, teachers, for example, during this pandemic and it's been tough on everyone, but I can imagine, especially teachers, I think more was asked of educators than, you know, a lot of other people and it's not like the pay increased or anything
right.
like that.
No, you know, it was definitely unforeseen and education is always evolving, but this was definitely next level because none of us had been teaching on a screen before. I mean, it's one thing to be in person and, you know, having that experience where you're in front of the kids and they see you and can grab on to whatever you're kind of, I'm trying to think of the word, like when you're excited, they're excited and mm-hmm. you can really get that across to them. It's hard over a screen, especially with all the distractions at home. You know, so it was a challenge to try and figure out, well, how am I going to keep all these kids engaged? And, you know, how am I going to reach them if I'm not sitting next to them? Because that's all we knew.
Yeah.
And so a lot of tutorials that we watched and just a lot of trial and error. It actually, though, I mean, it, you know, there were challenges with it, but I really enjoyed the experience because it taught me things that I can use. You know, we did the story time on Facebook and stuff.
Yep.
But I actually was doing that at school as well. Like I would do bedtime stories with them and things like that. And when holidays came, like we were still able to celebrate and do things virtually. Last year I had kids in person and I taught all of first grade online for our district. So I had like 12, 13 kids online and then 19 in person. And that was a whole different experience. 'Cause it's like, okay, well, I got to keep these guys online focused and engaged and the ones in class.
Right.
But I think it also, it gave us the opportunity to connect with parents different. And I think the parents were able to kind of get firsthand glance of what it does look like.
Again, it was more hands-on.
It was totally hands-on. Yeah. Right. They had to make huge commitments and bless them because, you know, one child is hard to try and keep up with. And then, you know, families that had multiple kids, I don't even know how they were functioning. And then, I mean, you have that, well, you're just mom. I mean, my own daughter, you know, I'm trying to help her and she's like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, well, I am a teacher. Like I do know, but I'm still just mom. Yeah. So I think that was hard for parents, but it, you know, it let them into our world, but it also let us into their home and, provided just a whole different relationship. So I really bonded with the families online just because they were right there and listening the whole time. And, you know, they expressed like, now I know kind of how to work with my kid more at home too, because they were able to see some of the strategies and one-on-one. And, so it was neat. I mean, it was a challenge. One thing that I really stressed was anything I had in person, my kids had to have at home. And so my husband and I were dropping packets off all the time to make sure everybody had what they needed. 'Cause I'm really having things that are hands-on for kids in first grade and stuff is critical for me. So, you know, it was, again, it was just making sure I was prepared ahead of time and things like that. But I mean, we had technical difficulties some days and, you know, storms that blew internet out. Right. And so, you know, those things are hard, but you just kind of had to deal with it and move on.
Yeah.
But so it had its challenges, but I really enjoyed the experience because it did. It taught me a ton. And if it ever happens again, now we know what to do. And
now you know.
Yeah. Now we know.
Awesome. So I also wanted to ask you this question, and maybe this is the best way to end our conversation, but, and it might even actually be a question on your, you know, application for Wyoming Teacher of the Year, but why do you believe you're the Wyoming Teacher of the Year?
Luckily, it's not a question.
Okay, interesting.
Because it is super hard.
Seems a little cliche to throw that type of question in there, you know?
Well, it's hard because I don't know very many people that enjoy tooting their own horn, if you know what I mean. You know, attention is uncomfortable, things like that. But I think that the reason I was chosen is that, you know, it's visible, the impact that I have on kids and the relationships that I build. My first group of kindergartners, my niece is in that class. They're seniors this year. And I still talk to almost most of them. And like when you're in my class, it's not just for 1 year, like they become my students for life. And so I think that's part of it. I'm also like, I really enjoy public speaking. And so I think that was part of it because I can now advocate for educators. And it's important, especially right now, because lots of cuts are probably coming and lots of changes ahead. And we just want to make sure that everyone remembers, like, we are people. Yeah, right. I know sometimes they forget, like, that we're humans. Yeah. But so I think, you know, just I love what I do. I think people can see that. And, you know, it's any kid that I encounter, like, just for some reason I connect with. And so I think that was it. And then just, again, the public speaking and, you know, I'll do anything for kids. So probably, I mean, I'm assuming, I don't know. They didn't tell me why.
And they probably won't, but no. I think those are pretty good reasons.
I hope so.
I think those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add to this podcast? You know, anything, you know, you're dying to share?
I don't think so. Just, you know, I think everyone right now just remember to lead and love with grace, and everyone's trying to do their best, teachers, kids, parents. And I think we just have to remember that, especially in these difficult times, that, you know, we're all trying to do the best. So just remembering that.
I think that's well said.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on, and I really enjoyed our conversation. Yeah. I think people will learn something from it. I certainly did, and we'll get you on again soon sometime.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks,
Brittany.
Thank
you.